Hi, this is Tanya Domi. Welcome to The Thought Project, recorded at the Graduate Center of the City University of New York, fostering groundbreaking research and scholarship in the arts, social sciences, and sciences. In this space, we talk with faculty and doctoral students about the big thinking and big ideas generating cutting-edge research, informing New Yorkers and the world. Luke Walzer is the director of the Teaching and Learning Center at the Graduate Center, where he supports graduate students in their teaching across the CUNY system and beyond, and he works on a variety of pedagogical and digital projects. He previously was the director of the Center for Teaching and Learning at Baruch College. He holds a PhD in history from the Graduate Center and serves as director of community projects for the CUNY Academic Commons and is a faculty member in the Interactive Technology and Pedagogy Certificate Program. He also directs the development of VOCAT, an open-source multimedia evaluation and assessment tool. He serves on the editorial collective of the Journal of Interactive Technology and Pedagogy. Welcome, Luke.
Hi, Tanya. It's good to be here.
In researching the work of the Teaching and Learning Center at the Graduate Center, I was struck by in your mission statement, the acknowledgement that, quote, knowledge is never static, and a community's approach to teaching must never be as well, unquote. This assertion is actually not revolutionary, but it's affirmative. It's embraced in your mission formally, and I want to explore that mission as it's situated in the City University of New York, particularly today.
Great.
So tell us, what is the mission of the Teaching and Learning Center?
So our mandate is to support Graduate Center students as they're becoming college teachers. And that means supporting them at each step of the development of that process. So as in their first semesters in the classroom, when they're in the process of moving towards mastery in their field and then learning about who the students at CUNY are. Then in subsequent semesters in the classroom where they're starting to get their legs under them a little bit, starting to find their voice both in their scholarship and in the classroom and maybe having the space to experiment a little bit with what they're doing in the classroom. And then ultimately at the end of their graduate careers where they're thinking about going onto the job market with what at CUNY is often very deep and varied teaching experience that prepares them to do work not only in college classrooms but in a lot of different spaces as well. So we've been building programs that seek to connect with Graduate Center students at each step along the way.
So it's not only teaching skills and methods, but it's also a level of professionalization as well.
Certainly.
I think it's probably, you know, fair to say, and I've been teaching for 10 years at the graduate level, that it can be awfully intimidating to walk into a classroom. Mm-hmm. And here you are. When do you start teaching it in your graduate education here at the GC? What year is it?
So GC students who are on the five-year fellowship package start teaching in their second year.
So in your second mm-hmm. year, you're really actually young mm-hmm. in your graduate education, and now you're going to go over to Baruch or Hunter or, you know, Lehman College, and you're going to walk into a classroom of people who come from all kinds of backgrounds mm-hmm. with all different levels of knowledge, not necessarily with all the same teaching prep that mm-hmm. they walk into the classroom with. So mm-hmm. that's got to be really intimidating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is, and it was for me when I was a graduate student here. I taught a U.S. history survey in my third year of graduate school. And the preparation I had was I had lunch with Carol Birkin, who was a senior historian at the Graduate Center and taught at Baruch College. We went over a syllabus, talked about some strategies, and then the next week, boom, I was in the class. I designed the class. Myself, I had two sections of 45 students each. I was in my early 20s at the time, and some of the students were what we think of as traditional students who had come directly out of high school. Other students were two or even three times my age, who worked full time. And this was kind of information about the CUNY classroom that hadn't been made available to me. You know, that experience before our center was founded was common. That was what every graduate center student who taught at CUNY kind of encountered. They were kind of thrown into the deep end. It was a course that they designed. They were lucky if they got some mentorship from within their program, but for the most part, they had to figure it out on their own. So several informal spaces kind of emerged over the past decade or so at the Graduate Center, different programs, comparative literature, English, urban education have internal structures to think about teaching and learning, but it's wildly uneven. And one of the missions of the TLC is to define the support structures that have existed and that have kind of evolved over time in dialogue with the needs of the students who use them, and to connect those, and then to build support structures where they haven't previously existed.
So talk about the Mellon grant that you are working with and how that came about. Just for me, I'm listening to you talk about your own experience. I was never given anything at Columbia where I teach. I mean, I was never given a class. I was never given an orientation. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, here's the syllabus. In this case, I stepped in for somebody and I didn't have to design it, but my head was reeling. Mm-hmm. I was reeling.
Yeah.
So this Mellon grant, it's very interesting. Of course, I was part of the announcement of it, but talk about how that is informing the work and helping fund the mission of the TLC.
Sure. So the Mellon grant provides the funding for the Mellon Humanities Alliance. And what the alliance does is it places Graduate Center students as graduate teaching fellows for the first time in a community college context. So our partners on the grant are LaGuardia Community College. And Graduate Center students who are teaching as part of their five-year package here at the GC have for years only been placed at the senior colleges at Brook, City College, Brooklyn, Hunter, CSI, Queens, John Jay. There is increasing demand for faculty in community college contexts, we're seeing more of our alumni from the Graduate Center take these positions. But there hadn't been much conversation within this building about what it means to teach in a community college context, what pedagogy travels between senior college contexts and community college contexts. So this grant really allowed us to explore that process in a robustly supported way. So the grant provides the funding for the Graduate Center teaching fellows, three cohorts of nine each who get two-year fellowships. But it also provides resources for intensive training for those graduate teaching fellows. And the training is designed by my office, the Teaching and Learning Center. Elizabeth Alsop, who's the assistant director at the TLC and the Mellon Humanities Scholar, is our point person on that, by the Center for Teaching and Learning at LaGuardia Community College and our colleagues Eric Hoffman and Michelle Pizzo. And then the Futures Initiative here at the Graduate Center is also involved in designing and facilitating that training, along with the grant director, Casey Holman. So we've got a lot of folks who are working on this, and they've built a curriculum that sometimes has been informed by the other activities that the Teaching and Learning Center is designing for students at the Graduate Center who are not part of the Humanities Alliance, and sometimes that influence works the other way, where we take ideas or challenges or opportunities from the Humanities Alliance and integrate them into what we're doing more broadly.
It's quite a commitment from CUNY itself and the Graduate Center and LaGuardia, but also Mellon recognizing this and responding to it. And I think in a really, profound way that lots of people are getting education at the community college level. And especially, it seems more now since the 2008 recession. There's been a revigoration in community college education and delivery of it.
Yeah, and that work has really allowed us to think in concrete ways about, and in new ways, about questions of access and how we define access within the context of the City University of New York, how we make sure that our teaching and learning materials are accessible to students who are coming from a wide variety of backgrounds with a wide variety of resources. Sometimes they don't have internet access. Sometimes they have to do all their reading on the phone. Sometimes they are working full-time and have limited capacity to engage with the readings for a course. And this project has really allowed us to think about how pedagogy needs to accommodate those different realities. And the community context, community college context, expands the kinds of populations that our students are working with. Now, many of the students in the community college context at CUNY end up at one of the four-year campuses. They transfer into to the four-year campuses. But those are students who maybe have more support or additional resources. So we're now learning more about what their early college career is like.
That's fascinating. So you know, just hearing about what you do and your mission and the Mellon Grant with community colleges, how do you really identify and prioritize all these programs? It seems a bit, it's robust, but it seems also massive in a way.
My staff is key for that. In addition to Elizabeth Alsop, who's the assistant director, and Elizabeth Decker, who's program coordinator at the TLC, I have six graduate fellows who work with the TLC, and these are all folks who've been teaching within the CUNY context for multiple years. And have thought about the kinds of support both that they would have benefited from, but also their other students in their cohorts would benefit from. And so we're very connected to the student body here, which creates lots of feedback loops. So we hear what students are interested in and design programs and dialogue with them. For instance, one of my fellows, Sakina Lakshmi Morrow, who's a student in urban education, has for 2 years been doing a series of workshops and focused inquiry groups on developing a socially conscious pedagogy. What does that mean? What does that mean in different disciplines? What does it mean? It leads to questions about disrupting or resisting the canon or examining our own positionality in the classroom. Another student, Anka Giertsma, who's an international student, has built support for the 1,000 Graduate Center students who are teaching as international students. And we didn't know that there were that many until she started doing this work. And these students often are unfamiliar with the university context in the United States. Pedagogy is different, curricula are different, expectations of students are different, and just like everyone else, they have been for years thrown into the deep end here at CUNY. So Anka's been working with them to suss out specific support needs that they have, challenges of intercultural cross-cultural communication in the classroom, kind of cultural expectations of students and how they differentiate between nations. These are just two examples of some of the programs that we have that are responding to specific needs that we hear about from the students who come to our workshops, our office hours, who chat with us in the hallways.
Interesting. Not only does knowledge not remain static, but technology doesn't either. Mm-hmm. And I think integrating technology into the classroom and leveraging it to advance learning is, I think it's challenging. And I think you have to really think it through, mm-hmm. and you have to think about what works and what doesn't work, and some of that's experimentation. Can you talk about using those tools and how you teach students about utilization of technology in learning?
Sure. So my own background is as a digital historian and an educational technologist. In fact, I ended up at CUNY to work with the American Social History Project. Two decades ago, who have for more than a generation been leaders in this field, and there's a cohort of us at CUNY who are really thinking about How do we integrate technology into the various functions of the university, teaching and learning foremost among them, but also scholarship and publishing, in ways that really reflect the needs of our constituencies and really empower them to do the work that they want to do. So what that means for classroom practices is that making sure that students at the Graduate Center who are integrating technology into their teaching are doing so purposefully, that they are not necessarily just receiving the tools that the university may want them to use, but that they are able to select from freely available software, often on the open web, that allow them to teach their students in the kinds of spaces that their students will be expected to work in when they leave the university. This led us to found projects like the CUNY Academic Commons, on which I'm director of community projects, which is a WordPress buddy press platform, an open source platform that anyone at the City University of New York can teach a class using. There are other platforms like that throughout CUNY, blogs at Baruch, the Open Lab at City Tech, Q Writing. And these really give Graduate Center students the tools to teach the way they want to teach on the open web, with attention to privacy, with protection of student data, but taking advantage of the network capacity of the web, of the interoperability of different tools via the web. So a lot of our workshops are oriented towards helping students who are coming from different levels of experience and different levels of comfort with that process get their head around the kind of foundational questions. What does it mean to teach my students in open spaces? What do I need to make my students aware of as they're working in these open spaces? How do I design spaces which are unique which allow me to extend my pedagogy in very specific ways that aren't possible without the technology that we're developing here at the Graduate Center? So it's one of the most exciting elements of our work.
Very interesting. Can you tell us about, you know, how the center, I mean, you've been telling us about how the center thinks about doctoral education, but also now we're looking at, especially at the Graduate Center, there's a big push now to think about, we're training doctoral students, but not necessarily for the academy. Mm-hmm. They may want to go a different route. They may want to go work in a museum mm-hmm. or in a think tank, mm-hmm. or there's all kinds of ways to leverage a PhD doctoral education. So how does the center help the Graduate Center think about that, about the future, and also really as the largest urban-based university in the country, about the future of public education as well, mm-hmm. which goes well beyond just the Graduate Center?
Right. These are big questions, and this is the right place to be exploring them. This, you know, over the past 5-6 years, there's been an investment in this whole layer of centers, institutes, and research initiatives devoted to kind of exploring those questions and positioning the Graduate Center to answer them. There's my shop, there's the Graduate Center's digital initiatives, there's the Futures Initiative, there's the Office of Career Planning, Professional Development, there's the Early Research Initiative, there's the work that Polly Thistlewaite has been doing at the library, which is public facing.
Right,
and,
open access.
And open access.
Right.
It's one of the greatest things for me about coming to work every day is collaborating with the folks at each of these units, but also thinking about how the work that we do in developing teachers is transferable within the context of their own career, right? That the skill of translating the complexity of the discipline that you're learning here at the Graduate Center, where you're reading the latest, reading and producing the latest path-breaking scholarship in your field, and translating that for these incredibly diverse student bodies who our students are teaching on the campuses. That's a transferable skill. How do you create digestible access to complicated concepts? Public speaking is something else that our students get a lot of experience in the classroom learning about. How to organize a series of events, which, you know, essentially designing a course requires a certain kind of organizational approach where you have to think about questions of scope and staging and scaffolding knowledge. That's something that's transferable into a wide variety of fields. And then also thinking about our role as educators within the public context, as you noted. There's an activist impulse that runs throughout this building, and it's present within our students' teaching and their research. And the teaching that they do and the work that they do with the Teaching and Learning Center allows them to refine that and to see their impact as something that goes beyond just the way that they've brought students to engage their discipline, but in the ways that they themselves think about the notion of the public, the role of the university, the impact that education has on our communities, the connectedness that we all within CUNY feel and kind of harness in our political and scholarly lives. Teaching is a central component of that. So it's a pretty fluid a fluid relationship between the teaching that students do and the way that they can imagine their impact as scholars beyond their time at the Graduate Center. It's not a mechanical or utilitarian enterprise, but it's deeply integrated into the formation of their identity as scholars.
I think one of the things that I get from you and all my colleagues in this building, talking to faculty, working with them, and some of the graduate students that are just incredibly impressive, is the idea of higher education as a public good and sharing that in the public domain. Of course, that's part of my job, is to get your ideas out into the public domain and leveraging this knowledge to advance the public good. And I think in this current climate that we face in the country, we need more people who are educated and can go into the public domain and explain that in effective ways through books and presentations and, just like you're talking about, like TEDx talks, whatever, leveraging knowledge and being able to communicate it. Mm-hmm. I think it's an admirable, important, vital mission of CUNY.
Hear, hear.
So, speaking of graduate students, can you tell us and tell the audience how the master's programs access and work with the TLC?
Sure. So, you know, we have a variety of initiatives, and they're all open to all Graduate Center students, and many of them are open to the public as well. We have workshops that run weekly during the semester, and master's students tend to come. They make up, about 20% of the attendees at those events, and they may be on approaches to educational technology or teaching as an international student or creative approaches to assignment design or using archives or museums in your teaching. And the master students who come to those, many of them are in the MALS program. Some of them are in the digital humanities track. And they're thinking about careers in educational technology or instructional technology, or maybe they're high school teachers who are enrolled in a master's program as the first step towards getting a doctoral degree. And they're thinking about pedagogy in their day jobs, and they see the TLC as a way to kind of connect with that work in the graduate context. We also have a grants program that we run, we've given a couple of grants to master's students. One who's a student in digital humanities, who is producing a resource on language instruction. He teaches Chinese at Hunter, and he's working with a student who teaches French at Hunter to kind of extract some ideas about best practices for language instruction within the CUNY context. They participate in our workshops, in our grants program. We have master's students who've participated in our focused inquiry group. We have a focused inquiry group, which are kind of extended workshops, the groups of students who get together, and we fund them to think about an idea over multiple meetings over 6 to 8 weeks or sometimes a whole semester. We have one on interdisciplinary approaches to teaching water justice issues. We have another one on integrating museum pedagogy into the undergraduate classroom. And we've had master students in both of those focused inquiry groups as well. So it's they come to us if they have some interest in pedagogy, some desire perhaps to explore entering a doctoral program and to become college teachers themselves. But often it's just because they're interested in the topics that we're discussing within those events.
Terrific. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me and for doing this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Thought Project, and thanks to our guest, Luke Walzer. The Thought Project was produced in partnership with CUNY TV, located at the Graduate Center in the heart of New York City, with production, engineering, and technical assistance by Sarah Fishman and Jack Horowitz. I'm Tanya Domi. Tune in next week.